But before we go to the text, to the scripture, let's ask God to be with us as we study the word. Let's pray. Lord, we come together before you, humbling ourselves, knowing, O God, that apart from you, apart from the Spirit of God, Lord, we will not understand your truth. But let the Spirit of truth, O God, enlighten our hearts and minds, that we may know the truth and the truth may set us free. Lord, we ask the Spirit of God to quicken your word. Lord, let your word come with anointing and power as we hear from your word. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you. And Lord, we thank you that you are here with us today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. I think it was Martin Luther who said, two things should happen when you are really converted. The conversion of your heart and the conversion of your mind. Let me say that once again. Two things should happen when you are really converted. The conversion of your heart and the conversion of your wife. You know why is that true? Or you know why that statement is true? According to statistics, Christians give just a little more than non-Christians. Christians today give only a little more than 2% of their incomes to God. You know, Christians are supposed to be the most generous people on earth today, and we know that it is not true. Okay? You know, some people think that when they give their time, their talent, and their treasure to God, they're giving God a favor by giving some of their money, some of their time, or even some of their talent. They say that if God will bless me more, then I will give more. You know what? The more money we get, the less money we give. And I believe that's the truth. It's sad, but it's true. But I believe it doesn't have to be true in your life and in my life, because God has given you the most generous gift ever given to mankind, which is Jesus Christ himself. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed on him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Christians are supposed to be the most generous people on earth, because we are recipients of the most generous gift ever given to mankind, which is salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know what? If you are really thankful to God for his gift of salvation, we will be, and we can be, the most generous people on earth. And today, as we study the book of 2 Corinthians, we will study the Macedonian church on how they became the most generous church during the time. We will see how they saw and how they understood something that completely changed their perspective in giving. And that's what we're going to look at today, as we read again our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. It says here, Moreover, we want you to know, or brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in the great trial of affliction, I think I'm reading from the New King James, but mine is ESV, okay, so I want to read from that. We want you to know, brothers, For in the severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. You know, the key idea in this particular passage that we are reading is this: sacrificial generosity or sacrificial giving is rooted and founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you're going to look at generosity or generous giving, what picture can you see if you're going to picture a generous church or a generous Christian? So what is the picture of generosity in the scripture? In the same way, what is the foundation of this kind of generosity? I believe, as we can see from the example of Macedonian Christians, that the picture of a generous giving is sacrifice. Say this with me: sacrifice. That is the picture of a generous Christian, a generous church. It's sacrifice. And many people today, there's something that they don't want to do, it is sacrifice. Amen? That's human nature. We don't want to sacrifice. We don't want to give. We don't want to share. We are selfish by nature. But we can see that God, because He sacrificed Himself by dying on the cross for us, He gave us the most precious ever given to mankind, which is salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. So the picture of a generous Christian or a generous church is sacrifice. And the foundation of that sacrifice, of that generous giving, is the gospel. You know, you can sacrifice whatever you want, whatever you can, but if it is not founded on the gospel, on the truth of Jesus Christ Himself, that will amount to nothing. So the foundation of giving is the gospel. And the picture of giving is sacrifice. In short, if we have been changed powerfully by the gospel, I believe that giving our time, giving our talent, and giving our treasure will be second nature to us. So let's look at the picture of generosity from the passage we are studying. First, it says the picture of generous giving is sacrifice. Where do we see that? Well, if you look at the background of the book, you will learn that Paul has been pressing this church to give something to impoverish poor Christians in Jerusalem. You know, they had a famine, they don't have any food, they need help from other Christians. But they were delayed in doing so because of some problems that came up. And so Paul wrote a second letter, which is this letter, to encourage them once again to fulfill the promise to give. And this time, Paul uses this opportunity to share to them the grace of God, which is in the churches of Macedonia. Now, what kind of church is a Macedonian church? You know, this church is not a wealthy church. In short, this is a church that is not capable of giving anything. This church is poor, or of stuff, they have a lot of things. They can give much more than the church in Macedonia. But this church, the Macedonian church, is impoverished. And they are not only poor, they are also suffering. You know, during the time if you are a Christian, if you are a Jew especially, you will have no job or in anywhere else. If you are a Jew and you are a Christian, they will not offer you a job. They will not help you. They will persecute you. In other words, you will have no means of support. So these Christians are not only suffering, but they are being persecuted for their faith. But in spite of that, they are saying to Paul, "Paul, please give us a chance. You know, we are poor, we don't have anything, but we can give something so that we can help our brothers and sisters in Jerusalem." And they are not just poor, they are extremely poor. You know, many of us have not experienced that. But back in the Philippines, back in countries like the Philippines, there are people who doesn't know whether they are going to eat tomorrow or maybe next week or maybe today they have food, but the next meal they don't know whether they are going to eat or not. So they are rock bottom, they are struggling, and they have nothing at all. Now, in spite of all of those things, in spite that they are poor, extremely poor, and they are suffering, the Bible says they were generous. The reason for that is because they have experienced the most generous gift of all, which is salvation through Jesus Christ. So that made a difference. Now, if you are a Christian, if you have known Jesus as your Lord and Savior, how are you supposed to respond to God's generosity? In other words, what is the picture of a generous giving as far as you are concerned? Let's read chapter 8, verse 2. "For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part." What the scripture is saying is whatever your situation is, whether you don't have anything to give, or whether you are in need, or you are just like the Macedonian Christians, they are in extreme poverty. It did not stop them from giving. It did not stop them from sharing their part. You know, the word generous, if you look at the word generous, it gives you the idea of being single-hearted, undivided, and open-handed as far as your resources, as far as your money is concerned. And you know why they can do that? You know why they can give generously? Because they no longer consider their life to be their own. They no longer think of themselves as their own. They know God has already bought them. And so, their money, their possessions, their time and talent is not theirs anymore. It's God's. Amen? In the same way, your time, your talent, your treasure is not no longer yours. It's no longer mine. It belongs to God. So my brothers and sisters, just like they did in Macedonia, they gave generously. And then secondly, we can see in verse 3, "For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord." not only give generously, they gave sacrificially. They gave beyond their means. In other words, they gave more than what is expected of them. It's like what I said, the true picture of generous giving is sacrifice. You know, when your giving begins to hurt you, when you begin to give up some of your life's pleasure, that is where true generosity comes in. True generosity, the meaning of true generosity is when it begins to hurt you. Remember the poor widow? In Luke 21, verse 1 to 4, remember they were giving, a lot of people are giving, much different persuasion are giving to the Lord. And let's see what the Lord saw from them. Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box, and he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she has or had to live on." So the true picture of generosity is sacrifice. I believe this is the kind of offering, the kind of gift that God is most pleased. When we give, not out of necessity, but out of joy in our heart, we give something that even hurt us, or that even cost us something. Remember David, when he was offering something to the Lord, and he said, "I will not offer or give anything that will cost me." And what the scripture is saying is, it's not about the amount. God is not looking at the amount. God is looking at the heart. You know, you can be a millionaire and give $100,000 and still not be generous. Why? Because you still have $900,000 to spend on yourself. And this is the case of the Macedonian churches. They were extremely poor, they were destitute like the widow, but they still gave their share. You know, I believe it's not really about what is right, it is about what is left. What I'm saying is, are you giving sacrificially to God? Or are you just giving because you have an extra? You know, when we have a lot of money, we just give easily without costing us anything. You know, it takes no faith to give when you have an extra. Amen? It takes no faith to give when you are blessed. Amen? It takes no faith to give if you have more than enough. But if you are like a Macedonian Christian, it takes faith to give something. Amen? And so we, as Christians, are encouraged to give not only generously, but also sacrificially. You know, people often say, "I will give, but I will wait till God bless me." You know what? Chances are you will never give because you will never be blessed. Or should I say, you will never think that you will be blessed, so you will never give. Amen? You know what? I don't know what sacrifice looks like to you, but we must all sacrifice if we want to obey God. know, sometimes we may have to give up a little bit of life's pleasures. Sometimes we have to give up Starbucks, or to forgo some pleasures, or some things that we want to do, just to give something to what God wants you to do. You know, I don't know what you have to sacrifice. Sometimes we have to sacrifice our sleep, or, you know, sometimes we, especially for Filipinos, they use afternoon as their nap time. You know, sometimes we have to sacrifice that just to spend time in prayer or to help in the ministry. You know, sometimes we have to get up early in the morning so that we can make it. You know what? If your boss, if you want to please your boss, you will come on time. Amen? I mean, all of us have different situations. There are traffic, there are things going on in our life. What I'm saying is, if we want to sacrifice, if we want to give something to the Lord, it may sometimes take sacrifice on our part. Amen? Sometimes we have to give our talent, our time, our pleasure to God, but that is the cost of our giving. Amen? And I believe that is God's desire for all of us, that we will be generous with our time, with our pleasure, with our talent, because God wants us to be faithful to Him. So we should not only be faithful in giving, in being a steward, in being a servant. We have learned that we have to give generously and sacrificially. And not only that, thirdly, we should give proportionately and voluntarily. In verse 3, it says, "For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord." Well, the Bible says they gave according to their means. Meaning they gave according to their ability. You know, God does not require you to give more than your ability to give. Amen? But they gave according to their ability and beyond their ability. Meaning they gave much more than what God expected of them. And they gave according to their means and beyond their means. They gave voluntarily. They gave willingly. Nobody forced them to give. Nobody pushed them to give. But they gave willingly, because they love the Lord in their life. Now, the question is, how is this possible at all? What was the secret of the Macedonian Christians? Actually, there is no secret. It is the grace of God in their lives that made them do it. It is the grace of God that caused them to give generously to God. What I mean is they understood the grace of God. And they understood the gospel of Jesus Christ. My friends, my brothers and sisters, if we truly understand the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, it will change everything in our life. Not only your attitude towards giving, but your attitude towards everything. Let's read verse 1 and verse 5 through 9. "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given in all the churches of Macedonia. And this is not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to the will of God, then by the will of God. Accordingly, we urge Titus that we, as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in love, in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove the earnestness of others, that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty might become rich. So what is the reason why they were so generous? I believe they were generous because they understood that the gospel changed their status for God. What I mean is, if you know and know and know that you have been forgiven by God, that you have been washed, cleansed, and accepted by God in spite of your sins, you will be generous. Not only did the gospel change their status with God, the gospel transformed their hearts. In other words, they were made new. They were born again by the Spirit of God. In other words, their hearts has been transformed. They were changed. They were changed by God. And if you are changed by God, there's also a change in your attitude towards giving. In spite of looking for number one, you know, that's the system of the world, instead of looking at money as everything, that looking at money as the one that makes the world go around, you think of money as not as a master, but as your servant. Not as your Lord, but as someone or something that you can use to glorify God. So they were transformed, they were changed, and they begin to excel not only in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all their earnestness, but also in this grace called giving. So the gospel changed their hearts. It changed their status with God. And most importantly, change their direction. You know, the gospel changes our direction. Our life now has new meaning and purpose. We no longer live for our own glory, but for the glory of God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, he chose to live by the grace of God. Not by his own purposes on earth, but by his purposes in our life. Now, you're going to ask me, how does that apply to money or to giving? You know, much of our life is spent in expanding our kingdom, in earning as much money as we can in this world. Because in this kingdom, in this world, we think that we will find happiness in having the things of this world. You know, in the world, happiness is judged by what you wear, what you drive, where you live, and your security rest on your investments, on your money. But if you are a Christian, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, and you became a part of the kingdom of God, you no longer see money as a currency for self, but as a currency for worship. What I mean by this is that you use your money to bless others. You use your wealth, your pressure, your time, your talent, everything you have to glorify God. And your happiness is not in the things that you have, but in the things that God wants you to use for the glory of his kingdom. So it changes the direction. It changes everything in their life. And most importantly, it changes their worship. In verse 9, it says, "For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, Yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. Well, the gospel changes our worship. We no longer worship our money. We no longer worship our wealth. We no longer worship the things of this world, but we worship the God of the universe. You know, worship is about where we put and place our value on. And we worship what we love, what we trust, and what we honor. You know, Jesus said, either you will hate the one or love the other. Or you will be devoted to the one and love and dislike the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You know, in the world, money is everything. Money is the God of this world. Both the rich and the poor, they see money as a savior. They see the promise of happiness and security in money. But we know that false gods always promises false blessings. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9, it says, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Money is a cruel master, and we are blinded when we make it our God. So the gospel changes our worship. It changes everything in our life. And that is why it is important that we give something to the Lord. Because if we honor God, if we worship God, we will give Him first place in our life. So how does that affect your giving? Money does not own you and me anymore. I don't have to need for money. I have to need for God. So my brothers and sisters, my question to you is, and I will end with this. How has the gospel changed your life? Has it changed your heart? Has it changed your direction? Has it changed your worship? You know, if not, there's something wrong in your life. You will never be happy if you worship the things. There's only one God that we can worship. You know, the world worships money, the world worships wealth and everything else in this world but God. But if you worship God, if you give Him your heart, your mind, your direction, your worship, it will change everything in your life. God will bless you more than you have experienced in your life. You will be the happiest person. You know, the wealthiest people on earth usually are the loneliest people on earth. You know why? You know, sometimes we want to have more money or more wealth, more treasure. But you know what? If you worship your money, if you worship your treasure, if you worship anything other than God, you will never, never have any enough. Amen?
Amen.
So that's Lord, thank you so much for reminding us again of the importance of worship. Lord, we know, God, that through our giving, we can express our worship to you. Lord, giving is not concerned only about money, but our time, our treasure, our talent, everything we have. And Lord, we thank you that we can give ourselves to you. Although sometimes, oh God, we did not do what you require us to do. Sometimes, oh God, we fail in the things that you require us to do. And we ask, oh God, that you forgive us. Lord, help us to be better servants. Help us to be better, God, in everything we do. Especially, God, in serving you, in giving. Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. I'd like to call